Hi there, this is Kate and I am here in Bremen for IAC 2018. There's a big packed hall behind me and I'm looking around and I've just come across a company called Astroscale, and here with me is Chris Blackerby. He's the COO, Chief Operating Officer. And you think you can solve the space debris problem. That's quite a challenge. How are you going to do it?
Yeah, it is a challenge. It's a challenge from a technical perspective, from a policy perspective, and from a business case perspective. But we think we've developed a team that can address all three of those issues together that can solve this concern about space debris.
And how big a problem is it that we're talking about now?
So it is a huge problem. Just in terms of debris that's the size of like a softball, like 10 centimeters, you're talking over 20,000 pieces. And those would destroy a satellite. I should start by saying we are entirely capable on space satellites for our daily lives here, right? So it's a problem on the Earth. It's not a problem in space. It's not a problem far away. It's something that we are addressing that would impact us every day. Everything that you do, from banking to communications, everything is dependent on space satellites. So we need a clean and sustainable orbital environment if we want to maintain the lifestyle, to maintain the information, climate change monitoring, all of that stuff is dependent on space satellites. So if any of those pieces of debris hit one of those satellites, that's a communication satellite or an Earth observation satellite, it could create a major problem. And so what gets even worse is something called the Kessler syndrome. So you nodding like you're familiar with it. So if a satellite hits another one, then it creates debris that becomes exponential. The potential for more debris increases, and then the orbits become unsustainable. So we're at the point now where we need to solve this problem now so that Kessler syndrome is not a problem in the future. And this whole democratization of space, which you're seeing across the whole environment here at the IAC, new launch vehicle companies, new satellite development companies, there's just going to be more and more that gets launched in the future. So we need to address this problem now, because the cost of solving it now is minuscule compared to the cost of what it will be to solve it 10, 15, 20, 100 years from now.
But I mean, for the last few years, it's not a new subject, space debris. I've been at these conferences year after year, and it's one of the big things that everybody's talking about. But there are two sort of questions. One is, how are you going to solve it? And two, who's going to pay for that?
Yeah, this is stuff that's been talked about for decades, a long time at these conferences. But everyone was talking about it from an academic or an institutional perspective. They're talking about it from, modeling out, here's what the problem is, and it's a problem, and, pulling the hair out, what are we going to do? And then looking at it from an institutional perspective, here's some R&D, here's some basic technology that we're looking at. Nobody was thinking about it from a business case perspective. And where we bring something different to this whole structure is we're looking at it from all three of these things, what you just said, the technology, how are we going to do it, the policy, who's going to make people do it, and the business case, who's going to pay for it. And so we are a company that's involved in all three of those sectors. So from the technology side, the first step we're doing is we have a technology demonstration mission launching in early 2020 called ELSA-D, End of Life Services by Astroscale Demonstration. That mission is going to launch a chaser satellite connected to a small target satellite, a piece of dummy debris. And it's going to get up into orbit, and it's going to separate and then attach. And it's going to do that three different times under different conditions. The second time, the target's going to tumble, so simulate a piece of out-of-control debris. The third time, we're going to lose the target, so we have to find it. And then we're going to deorbit down.
How are we going to... I mean, you really better hope this works, otherwise you're literally adding to the problem.
We are. We recognize that. We're very cognizant. And so we think we can do it. And we have assembled an incredible team of engineers, primarily in Tokyo, also in the UK, to make sure we can solve this problem. The way we're going to attach to it is by a magnet. So on our piece of dummy debris, we're going to have a plate, and the plate has a ferromagnetic material on it. And then on our chaser satellite, we'll have a small arm that will extend out and attach to it by a magnet. So that's how we're first testing the guidance, navigation, and control technologies, the capture technologies, and the deorbit technologies. What we think from a business perspective long term is we would take that plate with that ferromagnetic material, put it on all of the large constellations, for example. And then so when they go defunct, which a small percentage likely will, we will go up and attach to and bring down the failed satellite. So that's at the technology side. Paying for it, we think that large constellations will have an interest to do it, both from an environmental sustainability perspective, be a good steward of the environment, but also from a business continuity perspective. It just stands to reason that if you have the same orbital plane and you have debris that's there that could hit your asset, your satellite, that could affect service to your customer, you'd want to remove that out of the way. And so what we're proposing is just to add a hitch, just like a car has a hitch at the end of it. So if it fails on the highway, which cars do, you can grab it and pull it out of the way. We're going to do the same thing for satellites.
And talking about sort of pulling them out of the way, I guess probably you'll be pushing them out of the way with a controlled deorbit?
We'll use a controlled deorbit. If we pick them up in, say, the 800 to 1200 kilometer range, which is where a significant amount of these large constellations are going to be going, you're going to have to pass through some crowded fields at 600, have to pass through the space station at 400. So we can't just let it go up by itself. And if we do that, it would take too long, way over the 25-year accepted guideline that we generally have. So we would have, on our test mission, we have 8 thrusters, and we're going to push down to a lower orbit and then deorbit. We're looking at future technologies, so we're looking at road mapping of future technologies, how we would do this to make it more economically viable, maybe reusability of the Chaser satellite. So we're looking at a variety of options for how we can continue to close this business case. But where we stand now is there's just a lot of interest. We're getting interest from the constellation companies. We're getting interest from governments who are starting to recognize that this is a problem that they helped create and they're wanting to help solve, talking a lot to Japan, to US, to UK. One of the things that makes us unique also is we're a startup, we're small, but we have operations in all of those places. So we have our main R&D center in Tokyo, we have business development, and we're also building a ground control center in the UK out at Harwell. We have our headquarters office in Singapore, and we have a presence in Washington, D.C. So we're a global company. We have global reach in terms of understanding the policy environment and trying to impact the business development environment. So we're able to be not just a technology solution, but a thought leader on trying to make people aware of the problem and propose ways to solve it.
So all you've described about getting satellites safely deorbited and working your way through these fields of other satellites and dodging the space station, I mean, that technology is not simple. Mm-mm. It can't be cheap. I assume that each one of these, when you launch, it'll only be able to attach to the one satellite. So how do you expect to make money from this? It must be so expensive, even just on launch costs to get there. And especially if there's not necessarily a legal obligation for a company to deorbit their stuff in the first place.
It is challenging. That's what makes it so fun, though, right? That's why I love my job, because it's so challenging on all of these aspects. It's challenging from a technology perspective, as you just described. Doing this and the delta V cost of moving from where we would be at 1,000 down to, say, 300 is a lot. So we need to think of ways to improve that, right? To improve that from an economic perspective and from a technology perspective. So we don't have a final answer to that yet, but we are going step by step on trying to do it right now. Step by step, first step, get our technology demonstration mission working, proving that we can have the GNC, the capture, the deorbit technologies to do this. Simultaneously, we're road mapping out technologies for the future. How can we make this a more efficient, effective way to do things? While we're working this on the technology side, we are involved in policy discussions across the world, from domestic level, internationally at the UN, at the IADC, the Interagency Debris Coordination Committee, at World Economic Forum. We're everywhere. We're part of all of these discussions. So we're helping to influence.
So you're hoping that the policy will change, and that in itself will create the business case, and you're right there
to
pick up the customers.
It's all connected. Behind you, there's a Venn diagram of these three aspects of business case and technology and policy. They're all connected, and they all influence each other. And we're working on each aspect of that in a strong way. Like, so with each one of those areas, we think we can make an impact.
And the likelihood of having some sort of global space debris treaty anytime soon?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Hopefully something. At least there's a recognition globally that there's a problem. And it takes time. I mean, we all know that any of these kind of global initiatives at legislation are hard. But if we can start developing standards and norms, and if the operators can get involved in this, and the countries and the interagency or intergovernmental organizations, we can work towards something. We recognize it's not an easy push from any of these levels. But again, that's why it's such a cool place to be. So